May the Lord be in our thoughts, on our lips, and in our hearts. The Gospel of the Lord. We have just heard the Gospel of the Lord, but what does the word gospel really mean? Most would say it means good news. Well, if that were true, why do we keep the good news hidden? Why do we keep the good news to ourselves? The word gospel in Greek is evangelion. It does mean good news, but it means so much more. It is a message endowed with plenary, complete authority, a message that is not just talk, but reality. The gospel is not just informative speech, but performative speech. Not just the imparting of information, but action. The gospel has efficacious power that enters into the world to save and transform, and that is good news. You see, the gospel is not just mere words, but Jesus Christ, the Word made flesh, who saves all who receive Him. He is the Word who has the power to change your life and mine. The word gospel translated in Hebrew is bashar, which means flesh. You must know the message and carry it to others in the flesh. God's messengers are not merely telling about the history of salvation when they proclaim the good news. Rather, they are an integral part of the work itself, which continues through their efforts. The living Lord Jesus Christ Himself is confronting listeners through the words of His messengers, you and me. It is the gospel of the Lord, but is it the gospel of my Lord? If so, then, why aren't we telling our story? Have we truly entered into it? Or is it because the family thinks Jesus was a lunatic? Well, if we only had a brain, if we only had a heart, if we only had the Spirit. Who said, if I only had a brain? Tell our family story. We need a brain. It holds the intellect of our very soul. Who said, if I only had a heart? To tell our family story, we need our heart. It holds the memory in our soul. Who said, if I only had the Spirit, courage, lion? To tell our family story, we need the Spirit. Our free will is part of our very soul. Why aren't we telling our story? Because we can only tell what we know, what we believe, and what we choose to unleash. Pope St. John Paul II tells us in the Mission of the Redeemer that the proclamation of the Word of God, which is the telling of the family story, has Christian conversion as its aim. Pope Francis tells missionary disciples to have a willingness to rethink our goals. So, where did these words come from? I can't make up my mind. I haven't got a brain, only straw. You'd think you didn't have any brains at all. What would you do with a brain if you had one? I have so got brains. Well, why don't you use them? Oh, I wish I could remember. I'll see you get safely to the wizard now, whether I get a brain or not. Stuff a mattress with me? Ha! How can you talk if you haven't got a brain? I don't know, but some people without brains do an awful lot of talking, don't they? You got the idea. You see, we need not just a brain, but the intellect of our souls to have a willingness to rethink our goals as missionary disciples. Pope Francis continues, the more the mission calls you to go out to the margins of existence, the more closely your heart will be united with Christ's heart, full of mercy and love. Therein lies the secret. What we hear must be channeled through our heart. Are you ready? Where did these words come from? As for you, my galvanized friend, you want a heart? You don't know how lucky you are not to have one. Hearts will never be practical until they can be made unbreakable. But I still want one. Well, a heart is not judged by how much you love, but how much you are loved by others. I can faintly hear my heart beating. Now I know I've got a heart, because it's breaking. Well, that's getting to the heart of it. For to know him is to love him. Jesus looks into our hearts. It takes a circumcised, believing heart to have a personal and living relationship with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We have to believe and become convinced that God is at the heart of it all. Do you love me? Do you really know, and are you convinced how much I really love you? So now, we might have the intellect of our brain and a believing, loving heart, but Pope St. John Paul II continues, we have to be radical. Radically free and radically convinced and radically committed to Jesus Christ and radically committed to the gospel. Remember, they are both in the flesh, and we cannot separate the two. That's when the unleashing of our unselfish free will takes place. Accepting Jesus Christ as our Lord and God is a personal decision. And then the continuing of our personal relationship with Jesus becomes the key to evangelization, the key to unleash our free will as evangelizers, and the goal of evangelization. Remember, St. John Paul II said, the proclamation of the Word of God has Christian conversion as its aim. And conversion is a gift of God, a work of the Blessed Trinity. It's the Holy Spirit that opens our hearts to believe in Christ and confess Him as Lord. So then, the question is, not just, who do they say I am, but who do you say that I am? A liar? A lunatic? A legend? Or Lord? During his life, Jesus asked his disciples, who do you say that I am? 2,000 years later, we are being asked the same question. This argument for the authenticity of Jesus' divinity has been used by many Christians, but perhaps most notably by C.S. Lewis in his hallmark book, Mere Christianity. He writes, I am trying to prevent anyone from saying the really foolish thing that people often say about him. Praise the Lord. Referring to Jesus. Oh, I'm ready to accept Jesus as a great moral teacher, but I don't accept his claim to be God. That is the one thing we must not say. A man who was merely a man and said the sort of things Jesus said would not be a great moral teacher. He would either be a lunatic on the level with a man who says he is a poached egg, or else he would be the devil of hell. You must make your choice. C.S. Lewis continues, either this man was and is the Son of God, or else a madman, or something worse. When his relatives heard of this, they set out to seize him, for they said, he is out of his mind. When Jesus returned home and began to preach and heal, he appeared quite different from the Jesus his relatives had known. Some didn't know what to make of him because his new way of acting seemed utterly strange. 2,000 years later, the problem remains. You can shut him up for a fool. You can spit at him and kill him as a demon. Or you can fall at his feet and call him Lord, my God. C.S. Lewis concludes, let us not come with any patronizing nonsense about his being a great human teacher. He has not left that open to us, and he did not intend to. If you believe and are convinced that he is Lord, give him the blank check. Let him write in the amount. He will for sure. He will write in, I want it all. I want all of you. Because I love you. That's the third luminous mystery, the proclamation of the kingdom, the call to conversion. Repent and believe the good news. Unless a man be born again of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. The prophet Ezekiel challenges us. If you tell a sinner and he doesn't listen, it's on him. If you don't tell him, it's on you. This is where it's all at. From the diary of St. Faustina, Jesus challenges us. You have to tell them of my great mercy. If you don't tell them, if you keep silent, you will be accountable for a great number of souls on that day. And the gospel of the Lord continues to challenge us. Remember the miracle of the man who was freed from the demons? He was so grateful that he wanted to go along with Jesus. But Jesus sends him back home. Jesus gives the man that he healed a gentle push. Tell your family what God has done for you in love and gratitude. It is in the telling and the retelling that we come to trust that what we think has happened has really happened. At one of the Jesuit seminaries, the seminarians are told to tell their story over and over and over again. They would listen to each other over and over again so much that they could tell each other's stories from cover to cover and joked how they should take turns telling each other's stories. The method to the madness of repetition was to return to those seminal moments of grace and mercy and let ourselves be affirmed and formed again in gratitude and in love. We cannot shy away from proclaiming and unleashing the Gospels in our own lives and in the lives of others. Once we put on the mind of Christ, the intellect of our souls remembers the family story. Once we put on the heart of Christ, the heart of our souls believes and is convinced of the family story. That's when we put on the Spirit of Christ, and that's when our spirit is willing to unleash the family story. Blessed Pope Paul VI said, evangelization is the essential mission of the church, its proper vocation of the church, her deepest identity. She exists in order to evangelize, and the profound changes of the present day society make it all the more urgent. Pope Francis says, evangelization calls for boldness and creativity. And Pope St. John the 23rd told us, fear comes only from a lack of faith. Okay, where did these words come from? You, my friend, are a victim of disorganized thinking. You are under the unfortunate impression that just because you run away, you have no courage. You're confusing courage with wisdom. What did he say was being confused with wisdom? What did he say was being confused with wisdom? So, What makes a king out of a slave? What makes a flag on the mast to wave? What makes the elephant charge his tusk in the misty misk and the dusky dusk? What makes the muskrat guard his musk? What makes the Sphinx the seven wonder? What makes the dawn come up like thunder? What makes the Hottentot so hot? What puts the ape in apricot? What have they got that we ain't got? It's courage from the Holy Spirit that empowers evangelizers to unleash their story. It is through the Holy Spirit that all is accomplished. We're all novices, but the Holy Spirit will be present. Woe to me if I do not preach it, rekindle it, recover it, have burning conviction for it, have a passion for it. Archbishop Vigneron of Detroit wrote, "The preaching and unleashing of the gospel is most effectively shared in person-to-person contact." And remember, in Hebrew, that the translation of the word gospel is in the flesh. You receive the Holy Spirit at baptism. You receive the fullness of the Holy Spirit at confirmation. Have you unleashed the Holy Spirit? You shall be clothed with power from on high when the Holy Spirit comes to you. You shall be my witnesses to the end of the earth. That's when we put on the mind of Christ, the heart of Christ, and the Spirit of Christ. Stir up the graces of the Holy Spirit that you received when hands were laid upon you. The Spirit that God has given us is no cowardly spirit, but rather one that makes us strong and loving and wise. Sometimes you don't even have to say a word. Your very life is a witness. Watch for the Holy Spirit to open the door. One day I was doing my daily rosary walk this day around the mall in Steubenville, and a man walked right up to me and said, "I'm a Catholic, and I used to pray the rosary, but I don't pray it anymore because I don't think that they should have added the Hail Mary. So I pray Our Father on all the beads." Now, by the time we finished sharing, we ended up praying a Hail Mary. A few weeks ago, I received this letter in the mail from one of my high school students who graduated over 40 years ago. It reads, "Dear Mr. R., just wanted you to know how blessed I am to have you in my life back in high school and beyond. It's been many years since you and Mary Ellen touched my life. I have been walking with the Lord many years now. Thank you. I believe my path in life would have been much different without God placing you in my life. Be blessed, Dan." A fellow fourth degree knight of Columbus who has even served here at times, and he's an usher at our parish, was diagnosed with kidney failure, and unbeknownst to me, he ended up in the hospital on dialysis. And after his discharge, I received this email from him. "Deacon Randy, one night early in my hospital stay, I was having a terrible time trying to fall asleep. It was around 3 a.m., and my mind was wandering every which way. I was hyperventilating, my mind was racing, and I just couldn't sleep. Then, for some reason, you appeared and touched my head and blessed me. A calm set in, and I slept in peace the duration of the night. Don't ask, why you? I don't know. But it was an apparition that was much appreciated. Thanks for being there in my corner during my recent medical problems, even in my dreams, or whatever it was. It has made a lasting impression. D.L. Then there was the phone call to do the vigil service and homily, as well as the committal service for our apostolate sacristate member, Arlene. Arlene and Jim Murphy came to the apostolate for family consecration during the early years. Their visits, retreats, and communications with Jerry and Gwen Conacher stirred their hearts. They decided that when Jim retired as a marketing director for Procter & Gamble to sell their New Jersey home near the shores, search for an apartment so that they'd be able to volunteer here at Catholic Familyland. Arlene would drive to work here every day, to volunteer every day, and she would write about the saints each day for usage on FLTV, the Familyland television network. One day on her way, Arlene had an auto accident while driving down the steep hill of Lover's Lane Highway. Her car rolled over onto its side. Arlene was miraculously protected from the accident, but blood work and other testing revealed that she had two terminal illnesses, PSP, progressive supranuclear palsy, a degenerative disease involving a gradual deterioration of the death of specific volumes of the brain. And the other was CML, chronic myelogenous leukemia. The strangest part of it was that Arlene had five children and had been married for nearly 50 years and never been sick a day in her whole life. The diseases progressed from 2006 to 2017. Her last 3 years were on a feeding tube, as Arlene's illnesses turned her body into like a cocoon. A cocoon that housed her brain, fully aware and coherent, her tender, loving, and believing heart, and her pure, prayerful soul. Her body eventually became a basilica of silence. She couldn't move, she couldn't speak. Housing the Lord Jesus Christ and His Holy Spirit. Her witness to the gift of life to her spouse throughout their years of marriage, but most especially during her long suffering, day by day, year after year, became an instrument of evangelization. As her main caregiver, his faith moved from his head to his heart. Arlene, unable to speak anymore, Jim began to tell her story. They were living witnesses of how the two shall become one. Her story eventually became his story, his personal experience of being clothed with Christ, putting on the mind of Christ, entering into the heart of Christ, and living in the spirit of Christ. Until her passing, Jim spoke and witnessed for her love of the Lord Jesus, for God's gift of life, for the apostolate's works, and promoted and discussed her book, The Light of Love, Hope for Children of Divorce. Sometimes, to evangelize, we do not even have to say a word. For it is the Holy Spirit who goes before us and prepares the way. Pope Francis said, an evangelizer must never look like someone who has just come back from a funeral. And her funeral was full of the joy of the Lord that Christ had left them through Arlene. Today, Jim continues to witness of their lives, witness for the gift of life, witness for the AFC, and witness for the oneness of the sacrament of marriage with adults and youth of all ages. The scarecrow asked Dorothy, what have you learned? Well, I think that if I ever go looking for my heart's desire again, I won't look any farther than my own backyard. Then in his goodbye, the cowardly lion said, I would never have found it if it hadn't have been for you. Come, Holy Spirit, come by the means of the powerful intercession of the Immaculate Heart of Mary, your most beloved spouse. Amen. Amen.